Hi, this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief of Directions Media, and welcome to another Directions Media podcast. Recently, I had the opportunity to interview Greg Bentley, CEO of Bentley Systems, the geospatial and engineering software and solutions company. I sat down with Bentley at his office in Exton, Pennsylvania, and discussed the company's focus on infrastructure, a timely topic given the global investments being made by many countries to stem the economic downturn. Bentley provided details about how the company is using this period to promote the substantial returns on technology investments to CIOs, city managers, and utility owner operators. He also discussed the company's financial position and how the economy has impacted revenue performance, but also mentioned that the company reached two significant milestones recently. It reached the $500 million mark in revenue, and the company will celebrate 25 years in business. Let's pick up the conversation with Greg Bentley.
So I'll just start in. You know, our question is, how is Bentley guiding its customers to take advantage of the anticipated demand in infrastructure? And what does that mean for your business, whether customers are kind of questioning where all this infrastructure money is going to come from? And will your products conform to what is going to be in demand in the general marketplace?
Well, Joe, you're correct to suppose that we are very energized by the opportunities in infrastructure. It's all we do at Bentley. It's all we've ever done and all we've ever talked about. But now, of course, there's this global conversation about infrastructure. And just as you used the word anticipated investment, we're quick to remind everyone that it's not about stimulus or make work. The reason we're all focused on infrastructure is its superior returns on investment, superior on the one hand, as we now all realize, with respect to alternative investments, over-leveraged buyouts or residential real estate. You know, nice as that is, it doesn't contribute to economic throughput and so forth, whereas infrastructure does underlie, and sustaining infrastructure is the key to sustaining our economy, as we realize, our environment, of course. And we have this opportunity now with attention on infrastructure to sustain the professions that are critical for infrastructure, architects and engineers and planners and so forth. And in fact, we're enthused to have the attention now. You've probably heard Paul Volcker, for instance, say we need more real engineers rather than financial engineers. And that's something we've been saying without his help. But for us, the superior return on investment is the key. The opportunities to sustain our economy and environment with infrastructure are very real and better appreciated all the time. In fact, so much so that I like to say that, you know, going beyond stimulus to sustaining, we have to be sure not to crowd out and, in fact, to encourage and enable private investment in infrastructure as well. Of course, we have a generous definition of infrastructure at Bentley Systems. It's everything that people do to improve the planet. It's our cumulative stock of improvements to our planet, and the bulk of that is going to be privately funded, naturally so, because of this great return on investment in infrastructure. And I like to say that, you know, we're very concerned about business cycles now, for obvious reasons, all of us in business and in the world. But when we plot out, you know, let's step back for 100 years and look at our productivity improvements, which have given rise to all of our improvements in standard of life, standard of living. Over, if we go back 50 years, the prior era was all about investment in physical infrastructure, and that was railways and then became roadways and so forth. And if we think about it, for the last 50 years, in our economy at large, we've invested in what I might call digital infrastructure. We've had a digital infrastructure investment cycle that followed a physical infrastructure investment cycle. And digital infrastructure, not only software and computing, but it's also communications and convergence and devices and so forth. But where we are now is we must reinvest in our physical infrastructure, and we must reinvest, not default the work when we talk about grades for our infrastructure and so forth of the engineers that came before us, because every infrastructure asset had a design capacity and a design lifetime. We've generally exceeded both in many cases, but the opportunity we have as we refresh our physical infrastructure, we have to, is this time to leverage that digital infrastructure so that the result will be intelligent infrastructure. Infrastructure that takes advantage of integrated project delivery using information modeling to have less project risk and better project performance, and then to have better performing assets with real-time information. The example everyone would come first to everyone's mind is the smart grid, of which there's much in the news today, literally. We can all visualize what the smart grid means. It's a way of adding intelligence rather than adding new capital, if you like. It's taking better advantage of the investments we've already made by working smarter. But there's an analogy to the smart grid in every aspect of infrastructure, and of course we Bentley participate in the smart electrical grid, but also in water and structural and road and rail and transit and so forth. And this opportunity we've all can visualize through the eyes of our policymakers and so forth, which is, let's work smarter. I like IBM's
smart grid.
Exactly. It's a smart campaign that really serves all of our purposes well. We are nowhere near the point of diminishing returns in applying technology, especially information technology, to get more out of the existing investment. By the way, that includes investment in information and models that underlie much of the assets we have now. And it's a tremendous time at Bentley to be thinking about that.
Yeah. So I hate to do this, but I'll probably go off question just to kind of thing. But so you mentioned two things there. One is the investment that we think is going to come in from the stimulus to sustainable development. And the other thing is, I think you mentioned, you know, a whole aspect of smart technology. Now, those are great buzzwords that we like to focus on in the media. So how are you going to bring it down to reality? Is there anything from a product perspective that you're working on to make this real to your clients? You know, so let's get beyond the buzzwords. How is it going to be real? How am I going to really leverage my investment in Bentley products to get this stuff done so the politicians are all happy?
Well, so Joe, a good answer. And of course, it's not the politicians who will be happy, but all of us the constituents of infrastructure, as we all are, with better performing infrastructure assets. The tangible example, let us just take in the public policy realm most immediately, is better performing energy, building energy performance. Mm-hmm. So building energy performance is in fact a new product initiative for Bentley. We acquired last year the leading products, HevaComp, and we distribute TAS from the UK. In the UK, to get to your point, it hadn't been an abstract concept. In the UK, they've written checks for billions of dollars for falling behind in their Kyoto Protocol commitments. So in the UK, for 3 years now, every new proposed building had required a energy model be submitted in full rigor. The software is vetted completely, which shows that the proposed design is at least 30% more efficient than a design based on norms. And the norms are defined in terms, are defined explicitly. So the software that's led the way in doing that, Bentley acquired last year, and we have this year adapted for the ASHRAE standards and so forth for the U.S. and other parts of the non-Commonwealth world. So that's an immediate product opportunity where everyone benefits in a tangible way, you know, beyond the notion of stimulus in having our buildings be more efficient. Incidentally, every building energy performance problem starts with location. To come back to Directions Magazine and everything location, I know you talk to me, it's everything infrastructure, but the two come together. When our products for building energy performance start with the engineering rigor, including the equipment selected and modeled and so forth, there's nothing cartoonish or schematic about our endeavor to conclusively simulate and predict the way the actual built structure will perform in terms of energy. But it always starts with what's the weather, and that has to do with the location, but it also has to do with wind patterns and surrounding buildings and so forth. And in the case of TAS, actual CFD, computational fluid dynamics model of the air flows and so forth around as well as inside the building. So that's a case of a product which is opportunistic, if you like. But I say that sort of as the exception that proves the rule. The real opportunity, Joe, is interoperability. Smart always means tying things together, getting something out of nothing. My example is this year in the economy, it's all about creating value for owner-operators. Where there is a hiatus in new capital projects, the opportunity is to better operate and optimize what exists. And what exists is a bunch of information that hasn't been tied together and exploited and leveraged to be smart. And that's the opportunity IBM sees as a systems integrator. We at Bentley, as the originators of the software for the various disciplines involved in every infrastructure project, and of course, it's a portfolio of Bentley products that each project type requires, and solutions are our name for campuses on the one hand, or airports, or water networks, whatever. They use a lot of the same products. The challenge and the opportunity is to have the information flow from discipline to discipline and across an integrated project delivery where all the stakeholders have an interest in the performance of the resulting asset rather than merely a contracted piece of it, such as producing drawings or plans. In that case, there's a premium ultimately to create value for the owners in interoperability, having the information flow rather than be re-entered or not entered. And our investments across our portfolio are to make intraoperability within Bentley products be flawless, and to have our interoperability with the world at large and adjoining information opportunities. For instance, the real-time systems that we don't tend to provide. We provide information models for the infrastructure. There are real-time systems on the one hand, then there are operations systems. To have all of those work together is what makes an asset smart and provides this tremendous return on this existing investment that's going to be driving our business and those of our constituents for a long time yet. As I say, we're nowhere near the point of diminishing returns, and it's very palpable. So our business is doing well, focusing on solutions, asset types, rather than merely on products and disciplines in isolation. And that is the single largest driver for our continued growth and success.
But the economic problems that we've had have had a real impact. I've seen it in my business, perhaps you've seen it in your business. Is there anything, is there any one particular segment that you think is going to come out of the doldrums first? Do you see it in infrastructure? We know that there's slowdowns in China, even with that fantastic growth. And I would think that, that you're probably seeing it more directly, I've noticed. Is there any one segment that you think, or any one geographic area that you think is going to lead us out of the downturn and see the infrastructure money sooner than anybody else, and then the software obviously follows that in terms of the uptick in sales?
Well, Joe, I have our brand new May 2009 annual report in a draft we can look at, and I'm glad to talk about our business and bring you right up to date on that from Bentley's standpoint, since we're outperforming almost any other business I know, and especially software business. But that's for the reasons that we've concentrated on, the things I mentioned earlier. As far as regions and sectors, of course, public works is strong now, relatively, and rail and transit are particular opportunities. Water, long-term, the very best opportunity of all. There's never a recession in investment and return on investment in water. But I might say that sustainably, the economies in particular that will turn fastest are those that are most open to public-private partnerships, given the relative superior returns, long-term returns, to investment in infrastructure projects. And public-private partnerships, which are always done on an integrated project delivery basis where the flow of information is of the essence and done well. You know, we do each year an infrastructure yearbook, and I hope you've seen and will take away our 2008. But if you look at these are distinguished, these 200-some projects, by their innovation in information technology, and many of those that innovate furthest and fastest are public-private partnerships, because there everyone gets the message that, oh, it's like a light bulb goes off, let's have the information flow and be reused, and that'll be the way that we perform better on this project than we would have done with conventional, traditional delivery contracting, and earn our incentives. So public-private partnerships are critical and useful, and there are parts of the world that outperform the U.S. in terms of receptivity and encouragement for public-private partnerships, and I predict they'll, in our world of infrastructure, recover fastest. But even if we take the example of oil and gas projects, which are fairly conspicuously slowed down, those owner-operators are not looking in the rearview mirror and trying to drive based on the short-term commodity prices. Those are projects with high return as well. And the parties with staying power and Bentley Systems is one by virtue of our business model, consider this actually to be a auspicious time to be in our business. Yes, capital projects are slowed down. Yes, financing matters and is an inhibitor in some cases. But we went through a period of years where the bottleneck was infrastructure professionals, literally, were the in shortest supply. And now that that caused an uptick in innovation and in application of information technology that will serve us well now that the financial resources are the bottleneck, but only a relative bottleneck. And I think what we all recognize is the capital we can save, for instance, with a smarter grid in the electric sense with respect to investment in power generation has that very high return on investment. And there are counterparts in every aspect of all the infrastructure solutions Bentley does. And again, I commend IBM for bringing that to everyone's attention. It's not a time, and I'm not prescribing this as a matter of stimulus and policy planning, but as a sustainable wave when we focus on working smarter, which has the byproduct of generating less waste and preserving and being self-sustaining, self-sufficient with respect to non-renewable resources and so forth. And we all know that we might talk about that. Accomplishing it comes down to infrastructure professionals, engineers, architects, planners, one project at a time, doing a better job, using better tools, focusing on the larger picture, and ultimately making better decisions for better performing assets. And information models are at the very core of that. And those of us who work in that, I think, recognize our importance and opportunity in the world.
Is that a hard message to bring to a CIO of a local government to say, look, you know, you'd really benefit by investing in this type of IT technology, even though it looks like an extraneous expense? I mean, is that a hard message to sell at this point?
Well, what a very interesting question. So each year we report in our annual report, and I know you'll want to ask me as I want to answer your questions about finances here in a moment, but a qualitative aspect we look at is something called our enterprise license subscription. This is our premier offering to our largest accounts. They subscribe to our whole portfolio across all of the disciplines. We do everything, in infrastructure design and increasingly operations. And in an enterprise license subscription, you don't have to buy any software for a year. You have a fixed cost for subscribing to all of our offerings in unlimited quantities. And when you have in mind to have information flow better, you asked about CIOs and you recognize that return to improving interoperability, then that's the kind of offering you want. At any rate, it's the case now that owner-operators, you asked about agencies and municipalities and owners of that sort, they are now the majority of our ELS subscribers, rather than the very largest contracting firms who traditionally are subscribers to our product. The majority of our revenues are from owner-operators, so specializing and creating value for owner-operators is what we do at Bentley, and they have increasingly chosen to subscribe to our whole portfolio of products because I think they are seeing the benefit in virtue of having information flow and be reused throughout an integrated project delivery scenario, throughout an asset life cycle, including operations scenario. And we can go through some examples of that if you like, but it's sinking in.
So tell me about Bentley. Tell me about the health of the company. And one of the questions I wanted to ask was whether you're still considering an IPO in this climate. Maybe a little bit tough, but maybe, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel here in terms of, you know, we see the end, maybe hope for the recession, not too distant future.
Well, so Joe, two milestones for Bentley Systems. It's our 25th year, I'm pleased to tell you. This isn't a year of celebration for any business, however. It's also, we hit a milestone in 2008 of $500 million in revenue, which we're proud about. Our business is impacted by the global recession. But I'd like to use your question about being public versus private as sort of a way of telling you about that. The answer is we're not working on going public at the moment. It takes a bunch of work, takes a bunch of compliance, takes a bunch of investment. Being private since founding has served us rather well. There are many public software companies have gone private, of course, as you know, in the past few years. That's a different mentality also, because a leveraged buyout means the clock is ticking on needing to have another liquidity event and so forth. In our case, being private since founding has enabled us to focus on the long term and making decisions not to benefit the short term, but to benefit the long term. The form that's taken, I mentioned business model, is we prefer a subscription business model. The majority of our revenues are by subscription that has and are annually contracted. So we have been, just as we could not grow as fast as our public software peers who focus in the main on upfront license transactions, we could not grow as fast as they did during the boom times. Our growth record, it's in our annual report, is high single-digit organic growth, added to that lots of acquisitions and, of course, for a period of time, some currency growth. But our revenues in 2009, to bring you right up to date, we've had we're down about 1.5% in the first quarter of 2009 versus a year ago on an organic basis, comparable currencies. And then the dollar provides some headwinds on top of that, which is quite superior performance with respect to our competitors, and I think has to do with our long-term business model. We haven't borrowed from the future in the past. We've invested in the future. So we expect and earn improvement in our revenues when our users get more value from their infrastructure assets, and ultimately that's value for the owner-operators, as I'm describing. Now,
and I've often been amazed that you release your numbers as a private company. I mean, I've seen the reports over the past years, and it's quite unusual to have that kind of transparency. So you ought to be commended for that. I think it's...
Well, Joe, continue in that vein, because we are a mission-critical provider to a lot of the infrastructure world. Here in our annual report this time, for instance, ENR has just published their top design firms, and you know, we're 20 out of the top 20 in general building are subscribers to our portfolio, 20 out of the 20 in the top industrial in petroleum, 20 out of the 20, top 20 in power, 20 of the top 20 in water, 90 of the top 20, et cetera. The largest projects and the most prolific, we're mission critical to them, so they would naturally should be asking questions at this time about the viability of their providers. And to go back to the IPO question, public capital or equity capital is expensive at the moment, at current valuations. Now, you could also say that debt capital has suddenly become expensive and potentially scarce as well, which I think is why some of the capital intensive, you mentioned Digital Globe, when you have to put satellites up and so forth, you've got a financing strategy becomes paramount. But in software, our businesses generate cash, and even public software companies at current valuation wouldn't be using their stock for acquisitions very likely. It happens that at Bentley, our recurring revenue business model, which has enabled us to have over the past 12 months record operating margins, operating cash flow, and earnings per share, again, because we've invested in a subscription model where we get paid for the additional value our software generates. And even if you don't sell more new licenses in a given year, all of us know that information technology pays for itself more and more and better and better, and that continues to give us upside opportunity even in these times. So that business model also has enabled us to have a virtually debt-free capital structure, and we have a favorable $200 million virtually unused line of credit on attractive terms arranged when attractive terms were available.
Yeah.
And we would like to be, and we'll continue to make acquisitions where that's sensible, and we have an interesting pipeline of those at the moment. So we can continue to do well by our stakeholders and our shareholders, we think, as a private company. And that is not to preclude ultimately being a public company, but each time there's a down cycle, the technology businesses and especially software businesses are reminded that a licensed business model is cyclical and behooves a discount, not a premium, to more visible business models. And we are all recognizing software as a service as an opportunity for us. Mm-hmm. It's been something that's attendant to being a private company and wanting visibility and transparency, as you say, into our revenues and value added.
Any change to the business model of going more with or more or less with business partners? You mentioned software as a service as opposed to maybe pure boxes anymore. Everybody seems to be moving away from boxes, going more to software, online services, online training, everything more virtually.
So, Joe, I've seen your Axis distinguishing products from,
yeah,
from solutions,
mm-hmm,
and,
yeah,
and I don't quite understand the distinction there, because the solutions, for instance, that we provide at Bentley Solutions for airports, or my favorite example is wastewater treatment plants. It uses every bit of software that we provide, the piping software, the structural software, the pipe stress software, the network analysis, the schematic software, the drainage software. Everything is required for a wastewater treatment plant. We call that a solution. It's a combination of software products, which would be used in different combination for a transit project or a plant project or a building project. But and we also provide professional services, and we do that ourselves.
Well, great. Really, really very much appreciate your time.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. Please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com and be sure to tell a friend.